do something because you guys are going to start reading ahead. Okay, Isaiah 40:31. Go to your Bibles. I want you to look at it in there. It's in there. I want you to read it. It's just a simple thing. This is a simple teaching. I'm going to show you how I find stuff. Again, how to study stuff. Now, anybody heard this song? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's an old-timey song. You lose yours? Okay. Anyhow, I stumbled across this in a study one day, and the reason why is basically this. You're gonna want to do studies on your own. You're gonna want to test stuff other people are teaching. Okay? And before you leave, I want you to get a copy of how to establish biblical truth. It's a little way to test anything you hear or read. You know, step one, step two, step three. Anyhow, and I heard a couple of different teachings. This is what's going to happen with you guys. You're going to hear a couple of different teachings. They're going to seem to contradict each other, or they're going to not make sense. So you're going to do what I did. You're going to go to the scriptures. You're going to look it up for yourself. This is one of those. And basically, this scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay. And I heard this taught, and I heard it say that the word wait there was to sit and wait. You know, and they go and they get real involved with this being still and quiet and listening for God and waiting. And I said, well, that's interesting, but not my experience, but who knows? And then I heard it taught differently, and this is what provoked me, because the guy said, no, that means to serve God, to wait on Him like a waiter waits on you. Those are two different definitions, two different interpretations completely of that verse. So I decided to look it up for myself. And so I went to my trusty, Strong's Concordance. And you'll see here I have the scripture with the Strong's numbers by it. Okay? They that wait upon the Lord. Now, the words there, this is interesting because if you look on the Strong's numbering system, you find that these words here are only one word. But they that wait upon, it's only one strong number word. Now, usually, all these words have strong numbers. And I thought it was kind of strange that that was there. But so I said, well, then at least wait upon is the one word. It's not just wait or upon. It's this one word they translate wait upon. And there's a reason for that, but they overshot it or undershot it or something. Anyhow, 6960 is the strong number, so I went and I looked up 6960 to find out what it meant, and this is what it says in the Strong's Concordance. To bind together, perhaps by twisting. That is, collect, figuratively, together. Now this last bit, you see the little stars? That's what I warned you about. When you're in the Strong's and in some of these other books, they'll put in there what they think it means, but not what the word really means. And try and keep it in line with their doctrine. So you see, look, patiently tarry, wait. Wait upon, wait for, because that's the doctrine. But the word means to bind together in the sense of twisting. Okay, so I look it up in another lexicon, which is the Hebrew lexicon that I use, this one here. And it says to twist, to bind, of course that's the same basic translation that Strong starts out with. Whence to twist a rope. Strong, robust, for the notion of binding fast. Tying fast is applied to strength, to be wound together. Okay. And I did some other research and I found out that actually it's a word that's used in that period when they talk about making rope. It's what you do to the fibers to make a rope. You twist them together. Anybody here ever make a rope? We used to do that. We used to get this cords off of the bales of hay, and we used to put them on this little machine we made. It had three holes, and it was three little eyelets with three little handles. And so you put those little handles through another board, and you'd go like this, and those three ropes would just spin and spin, and you could just twist a rope, look just like an anchor rope, or one of these other, you know, three-stranded twisted, which is a lot stronger than the fibers are if you leave them straight, you know that. Much stronger twisted than they are left straight. And that's what this word is really talking about. It's talking about a wraparound in the sense of strengthening. And then I noticed that there was another word in that verse, which is also interesting, the word renew. And I found it associated with covenant language, but I looked it up, and I have it here for you to see that I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it says this: to slide by, to hasten away, to pass on, to pierce or change, abolish, alter, change. Now wait a minute. Renew. Okay, renew. When I heard it taught, the renewing of your strength means that you won't. If you're tired, it'll make you untired, and you'll get your strength back. But that's not what it's saying. It says that something's going to slip by. Something's going to hasten away. Something's going to pass on or change. Anyhow, and that's the definition I have there. And of course, at the end, like Strong's usually does, they put their own little twist on it. Renew, sprout, strike through. The reality is that, and I added this is not part of the Strong's translation, the translated 11, did you see this? Translated 11 times, changed in Scripture. Well, the word changed is a different word. I mean, it's a word that we understand, but most of the time, it's the way it's translated, the word changed. Or abolished or done away with. There was only one or two renews. I think all the rest were mostly changed or passed away or done away with. And I told you, I found that word associated with something else, which was a covenant. It was part of the covenant language. And basically, in the covenant, you exchange your coat and you exchange your weapons with whoever you make a covenant with as a sign of my weapons, your weapons, my authority is your authority. The coat being a significant of authority. So I retranslated that scripture. They that bind themselves fast to God exchange their strength for His. And the example I used when I taught this actually, I found this. This is interesting. I went to look to do. I was going to do this for you guys, and I went to my lexicon to open it up. I found in the page for this word, I found this card. I haven't even told Teresa yet. Christ Cathedral Church and School. This is the first church I ever preached at. And this was the first lesson I ever taught from the pulpit. Yeah. And I have the card from the church. I thought it's really cool. I was so blessed by that. Anyhow, it's been a long time. And the example I use when I teach it is I take a real heavy rope, like a big anchor line like that. Okay, I take a good length of it. I get a couple of strong guys up there. And I leave the rope in the bag, and I take out a spool of red thread, and I have each one of them get each one into the thread and break it. And they break it. And then I have them pull out the rope, and I wrap the red thread around the rope. And I says, now try and break the red thread. And they can't, because what it's wrapped around is so much stronger than them. It's impossible to break. Well, that's the idea. The idea is when we bind ourselves fast to God, when we wrap ourselves around God, then our strength is exchanged for His strength. That if we're relying on God, they have to break God first. before they can break us. Which is kind of a nice, interesting verse in the scripture. And, you know, so I thought I'd show you. And how did it come about? Just basically, I heard a couple of different things taught. I said, well, you know, that's interesting. But one of them's got to be wrong. And so we talked about this often. When you see scripture in contradiction, or you hear a teaching that contradicts another teaching, there's always an opportunity there for you to find out what the truth is. Now, I have a general statement that I like to make that might help you, because there's a lot of perspectives that are taught in different denominations and churches. And I use this line in one of the books that I wrote. The chances, like all these different positions, all by people that claim to be spirit-filled believers, even if they're not charismatic, they still claim to be spirit-filled believers. That their understanding of Scripture was given to them by God, that was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. And I've heard this, as long as I've been around Christendom, I know you guys have heard it too. I mean, everybody claims that same kind of deal. And I said in my book, I said, well, the chances of all of them being right, very low. Okay? The chances of all of them being wrong is better. So that you have a chance, if you see something like that, you have an opportunity to maybe find something that they don't even understand. And we do this all the time. I've been really blessed by being able to find a lot of stuff that's really clear in the scriptures, and I don't know how they ever get to these other positions. Anyhow, we talked about this other thing. So everybody with me so far on this? I have a bunch of verses I want you to look at real quickly with me. Where that word appears, and tell me if you retranslate the word in your head to bind yourself fast to God, how does the scripture change, or how does it differ from how it was before? Here we go in Psalms 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off of those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Oh, I'm going to just wait around till I inherit. That's not what it's talking about. But it does change it a little bit. They that bind themselves to God inherit the earth. Okay. Isaiah. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms shall judge thy people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arms shall they trust. Now, the isles waiting upon him, actually the next half of that one verse is talking about what he's really saying. And on my arm, they'll have assurance. They that bind themselves fast to me, on my arm they can trust. And it's not, you know, right away, it's not really talking about sitting and waiting or waiting like a servant. It really doesn't make any other sense unless you inject into there this concept of binding fast too. Because that's what the word means. It doesn't mean anything else. That's what the word means. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. See, if you translate it the other way, that's a contradiction in one verse. God is good to the ones that wait for him, and the soul that seeks him. Well, you can't wait and seek at the same time. Unless waiting is pressing in and trying to wrap yourself around God. And that's what it's talking about. Okay. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. You all have a copy of this, by the way. I'm going to pass it out to you. Actually, the gathered unto it is the same word wait that you see in Jeremiah 3:17 on the second page. Wait on thy God continually. So either you're going to serve him all the time, or you're going to sit and wait for him, or you're going to try and wrap yourself around God all the time, which is really what it's meaning. So just a quick little example I wanted to do today. Anyhow,